Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, we are in the final two verses of John's third epistle and just about to wrap up our study of this book in the Bible. And indeed, the trio of Johannine epistles that make up 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, which are the books that we have been pursuing now over the last several months. But in coming to the concluding words of this epistle, we find a focus upon the written word, the spoken word, and the social word. And we see that there's value in all of these things. There's value in the written word. There are times when that cannot be replaced. That's the only thing that will do the job of communicating that needs to be carried out at that particular time. But there's also the value of the spoken word, and there are times when the written word will not do, but when there needs to be a face-to-face meeting so that a different kind of communication, a different kind of exchange can take place, a type of communication, verbal communication, which really cannot be carried out successfully in writing, but it has to be carried out in person. But there is finally and thirdly the value of the social word, and that's what we see in the final words of the final verse, where John takes time to communicate some of the common cultural greetings of his day. He says, peace to you, our friends greet you, greet the friends by name. And we started talking about these on the broadcast yesterday and want to continue them today to show you that this is an important part of life. And most people understand that. Most of you understand that. But every now and then I'll run across somebody who seems to think that that is optional, it is unnecessary, it is even cumbersome and beneath them to find it necessary to enter into these social customs, and they don't understand how valuable the exercise of such communication is and how detrimental it is to fail to communicate in this expected way. And so we'll continue that on the broadcast today on this Tuesday, August 20. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for supporting us financially in the work of teaching God's Word. The final words of 3 John, I had many things to write to you, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink, but I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. Well, I really don't want to reiterate. There was something that had to be communicated in writing. It was so important that John could not leave some of the communication until the time when he could speak to them face to face, but he had to write it down and send it to them. That was necessary. Sometimes the written word is absolutely necessary. And of course, we're not dealing with just ordinary written words here. We're dealing with the inspired words of the Apostle John that are actually Scripture. So he was guided and directed by the Holy Spirit in what he wrote. He had to write that down so that it would be included in the Bible. But it's clear that there are some things that need to be communicated in writing, and nothing else will do. But it's just as clear also that some things need to be communicated in personal conversation, and there are times when nothing but that will do. But finally, there are times when we need to recognize and participate in the expected social greetings and social communication, social exchanges that are common in our particular culture, and John does exactly that, and we need to learn to do the same thing. Those who don't do so are actually creating an impression which is probably not what they intend to create, but their unwillingness to participate in common social exchanges becomes a barrier between them and other people, and becomes a barrier between them and being a good ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good, I think, in these kinds of cultural exchanges to turn them in a spiritual direction when we can. So, when we say, hello, how are you? Or somebody is, we're parting from someone and we say, have a good day, have a wonderful day. I'm always thankful when I hear someone say, for example, have a blessed day. Is that common where you are? It's common in my community. When I say common, I don't mean the majority of people do it, but there are a pretty significant number who do. And Christians understand that. That's clear language for Christians. When someone says that, we know that they are a Christian or they are talking like one. We can't see the heart, of course, but here's somebody who wants you to think that they're a Christian, and to do that in public with a stranger probably indicates there is reality, there is something genuine in that, because people who claim to be Christians but really aren't generally are not interested in identifying themselves as Christian in the public arena, and particularly around strangers. I won't go into all the reasons for that, but I think you understand that. So there is a real opportunity to take the customary social greetings and exchanges of your society. Most of the people who are listening to this, of course, are Americans, and turning it in a Godward direction, just a subtle thing. It's not beating somebody over the head with the gospel. There are times when we need to confront people with the gospel, but there are other times when we can just slip in little cultural exchanges that have been slightly altered in a spiritual direction. And I'm not just saying that I think that's a good idea because I observe it in the 21st century. I find that that's exactly what the Apostle Paul did and some of the other New Testament writers did in their day. They took the common exchanges of their day and they gave them, if I can use this language, they gave them a Christian twist. So we can do the same thing. But we find, first of all, the social benediction spoken by John, peace to you. Secondly, we find a social exchange has to do with friends. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. An exchange here. Our friends greet you. Friends. That's not a real common title for believers. You might have expected John to say, the brethren greet you. The brothers greet you. But here it's friends. And actually, that word for Christians is used several times in the Gospel of John. For example, in chapter 11, verse 11, and in chapter 15, verses 13 through 15, it's used by Christ himself. And it seems to be a general term for all the saints at Ephesus, because John is at Ephesus when he's writing this. And he is writing it to Gaius at another location in Asia Minor. And he says, our friends greet you. Presumably, he means the saints at Ephesus greet you. Now, it's possible that what he's saying is, the people who know you personally, Gaius, your personal friends, greet you, and that's possible. But In either case, it's a social exchange, and it's an emphasis upon friendship. Our friends greet you, and then he turns it around and says, you greet the friends by name, very personal. The members of Gaius's church, presumably he has in mind here, greet the friends. Our friends greet you, now you greet our friends who are there where you are. Those who are personally known to John, maybe. Or again, it could simply be another way of saying greet the saints. Paul would be more likely to say saints. John chooses to use the word friends. But all I'm saying, and I don't want to keep belaboring this point endlessly, but all I'm saying is that this tells us the importance of cultivating and maintaining Christian friendships, and that must be done, at least in part, through these normal cultural exchanges, the value of the social word. Some of you wondered what in the world I had in mind when I mentioned that earlier on. This is what we were going to talk about, the value of the written word, the value of the spoken word, and the value of the social word. And I'm sure many of you said, I understand where he's going with number one and two, but I don't know where he's going with number three. But now I think you do understand where I'm going, and I hope you find it helpful. Well, let's see if we can draw a few concluding applications from these final verses and then conclude our study in 3 John. First of all, we learn something about the relationship of Christians as friends. Those who are Christians could be called saints, are here called friends. And what does that mean? Well, they are friends of truth, and they are friends of all others who love the truth. To know the truth, to live the truth, to tell the truth, makes you a friend of everybody else who does the same. And so those who are friends of the written word, who value the written word, they're my friends. Those who are friends of the spoken word, that is, of preaching, of witnessing, the spoken word that relates to the truth, are my friends. Those who are friends of the social word, they understand the importance of cultivating fellowship within the body of Christ and develop social skills for the sake of Christ and the gospel, they are my friends. Christians as friends. This also tells us something of Christians as light. The emphasis throughout this entire epistle on truth, knowing and obeying the truth, and how important it is that we gravitate to those who love the truth and support those who preach the truth, as Gaius did, and John highly commends him for it, as Diotrephes did not, and opposed those who did, and John royally denounces him for it, as Demetrius did, and again is commended for it. And where truth is proclaimed, the friends of truth support it. The friends of truth are glad for it. And where truth prevails, God is glorified in his church. And finally, in this epistle, we see something about Christians as servants. Are you a Diotrephes or a Demetrius? Are you a Diotrephes who's determined to rule? Or are you a Demetrius or a Gaius whose goal is to serve? Do people know you as selfish or selfless, is another way to put it. And this epistle tells us how important it is to be Christ-like, how important it is to be self-sacrificing, how important it is to be a servant rather than to be a ruler. The flesh says, I want to rule. The Spirit says the way to influence is to serve. He that would be great among you, let him be the servant of all. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.